and the interpretation of the dream to Nebuchadnezzar's memory. And he told him about the great statue that he had seen, the head of gold, which was Babylon, the chest and shoulders of silver, which was representative of Media Persia, and the belly and thighs of brass, which was Greece under Alexander, and then the legs of iron and clay, or the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay, which represented the Roman Empire. And Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, he said, "You, O king, are this head of gold." Now, I don't know if this was on the program or not already, but in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar builds a giant golden image, 95 feet tall in the plain of Dura, and then he calls out for all of the nobles and all of the princes and every governor and all of the politicos, every hack, everybody with any connection at all, came out into the plain of Dura. And then there was this mandate that there was going to be music playing. And at the sound of the music, everybody was to bow down and to worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4, "Then a herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages.'" This was representative of all the conquered lands. As Daniel and the three were a part of a bunch of young princes from Jerusalem, so there were kings and princes, and Daniel's king, Jehoiachin, was there in Babylon. And all of these nobles from all of these conquered lands had to come out, and they were representative of all peoples and all nations and all tongues. And I don't know if you hear something there that is reminiscent of another passage of Scripture, but if you draw a corollary between what God is going to do in eternity in gathering all kinds of people together to worship around His throne, what you're seeing in Nebuchadnezzar and what you saw in Persia and in Greece and in Rome and in the expansionist tendencies of Nazi Germany, all of those would-be world-conquering kingdoms are all the spirit of Antichrist that is seeking to dominate the world. And if you'll look at them, there is always a spiritual nature about them. And in this reading, you see some things that are in corollary to what God is going to do around His throne. And that's what Satan always has wanted to do. He's always wanted to usurp God. We meet him first in Isaiah 14, where he says, "I will ascend above the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High God." And so here he gathers all kinds of people, all languages, and he has them in this great plain of Dura. And now there's going to be music. And he says, "At the time you hear the sound of the cornet and flute and harp and sackbut and psaltery and dulcimer and all kinds of music, at the music you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up." And that's what I want you to do. And if you don't do it, in verse 6, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So this is what the king wants. And if you don't do this, I'm going to cause you to be cast into a little miniature lake of fire. Now, I don't know if this statue was sparked by the vision in chapter 2 that Daniel dealt with Nebuchadnezzar about. But we get a profile in chapter 3 and in chapter 4 here of the man Nebuchadnezzar. And he is pretty grandiose in his ego and in his vanity. He's building this great golden idol to represent himself, because Daniel's told him, you are the head of gold. And when these young men fail to bow down, he is so livid and so enraged that he's going to have the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than the warranty allows for it to be heated up. And in chapter 4, he's walking along the walls of Jerusalem, of Babylon, after having seen the great deliverance of these three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. And he's saying, "Look at mighty Babylon that I have built." God sends him a word. and lets him know, if you keep talking like that, God's going to drive you out into the wilderness and make you live like an animal for 7 years. If you don't straighten up, if you keep letting your ego go unchecked, he's telling him, I raised you up for my purposes. I raised you up to judge my people. I didn't raise you up because you were great. And when he heard Daniel and the explanation of the dream, he didn't learn a thing, because Daniel told him in chapter 2, he said, this wisdom has been given to me not because of any greatness in me or any wisdom in me, but so that you, King Nebuchadnezzar, can see those things that are going to be coming in the latter days. He didn't learn from Daniel's example. Rather, he stood on the walls of Babylon and heralded himself and vaunted himself. And he's the epitome of a thankless, godless man who has had blessing and honor and power and a divine door of great opportunity opened up for him. And he says, look what I've done all by myself, all by myself. And so we get a little insight into the psyche of Nebuchadnezzar here in these chapters. Something we notice too in the beginning of chapter 3 is that Daniel is conspicuously absent. Daniel's not there. Daniel doesn't go down to the pit in the fire with the three. He's, I think, probably on the platform with Nebuchadnezzar. I believe he's probably in a safe place, having been appointed governor or prime minister over all of Babylon in chapter 2. And so he's safe. He doesn't have to bow down, but neither does he come to the defense or the safety of his friends. He's just not there. He's conspicuously absent. And so when we make our way through that beginning few verses here, we come to what the nut of the matter is, what Nebuchadnezzar wants, and by Nebuchadnezzar, the power or the strength of an Antichrist system that is emerging. And throughout history, you'll see several of these. And when you read in Thessalonians where it says, and now that restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. In that passage that's talking about the Antichrist coming, and that passage that's talking about the coming of the Lord and the destruction of the Antichrist, the scripture tells you that something is holding those kingdoms back. Babylon tried to exert itself, but it could only go so far. Persia tried to exert itself, but it could only go so far. And Rome, and Genghis Khan, and Nazi Germany. But there's coming a day here in our lifetime where God is going to take away that's restraining the Antichrist system. And we will live to see the expansion and the domination of the Antichrist system in our lifetime. Well, praise God. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Israel's in the land. Because Russia and Iran are coming. Because there's an army of 200 million east of the Euphrates. Because the Word of God has already painted the picture and stationed the nations where the Word had declared they would be 2,700 years ago. So we come down in chapter 3 here, and it's wonderful, wonderful and inspiring story. And we find what it is that this Antichrist mentality wants. In verse 5, that at the time you hear, and he lists all the different music instruments, you fall down and worship. Everybody say he wants worship. He wants worship. Now, just so we're clear on this, I want you to, just for a moment, you can sit, you can stand, you can do whatever you want. For just a moment, I want you to worship God for just a few minutes here. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about time. You've gone about 15 seconds. Just lose yourself in that and worship him for a little bit. Praise. to be prayed. Praise the Lord. 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 Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Praise Him with the stringed instruments. Praise Him on the organs. Praise Him with the psaltery. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the high-sounding cymbals. Praise Him with the timbrel. Praise Him with the dance. Let everything that has breath give praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, touch your neighbor and say, I was built for praise. I was made for praise. My purpose is to praise. To praise Him in my life. To praise Him in my walk. To praise Him in the words of my mouth. To praise Him in the meditations of my heart. To praise Him in the beauty of holiness. To praise Him with a shout from my voice. To praise Him as long as I have strength to praise Him. As long as I have energy to praise Him. If I can just get one little gnarled hand up in the air, let me praise Him. But my calling in life first is to praise the Lord. The trees lift their hands. The waves crash on shore and praise Him. The mountains in their majesty praise the Lord. Every bird's song and every bird on the wing, every fish of the sea, they are made to praise Him. These are not just poetic terms in the Psalms. We were made to praise Him. We are now emerging the Church of the Living God as a royal priesthood, and our job is to praise Him. Actually, what we're going to do, I don't know how long it's going to be, but the first thing we're going to do when we get there is we're going to cast our crowns at His throne, and we're going to praise and magnify and sing and cry, hallelujah! 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 Blessed is the Lamb that was slain. So a lot of what we're doing here is practice. We're learning how. We're getting moves. We're learning how to worship. If you think I'm bonkers about worship, well, I am. God began to move on me and teach me about worship when I was in a traditional Pentecostal church. And He said, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to tuck it under your arm and I want you to begin to praise here on the platform. I said, well, what do you want? I want you to dance. You said, God's talking to you like this. He absolutely was. And He said, I want you to dance every service. I want you to run every service. I want you to be demonstrative in every service. I said, well, God, they don't really do that in every service here. You know, every now and then on Sunday nights, they blow up. But they don't do that every time they want to because they have a theological glitch. They think that you speak in tongues when the Spirit of God moves on you. But Paul said, I will pray in my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. And likewise, they think that you worship when God moves on you. And because they think it's an external rather than an internal, it usually goes like... Like, what was that? Oh, it wasn't me. Oh, the Lord was moving on you. You see, it's all in the language. The theology is in the culture and in the language. And I don't mind if you want to just blow up like that. What happens, where that comes from, is when people don't have the liberty to worship God and they tank and tank and stuff and tank up until they just... And they'll knock you down and they'll kick holes in the wall. I'm going to say, my God, we had a service last night. He threw a guitar all the way across the sanctuary. Well, that's not real good for the guitar or anybody that's in the trajectory path of the guitar. But the scripture is very plain. Clap your hands by will. Lift your voice by will. You dance by will. You shout. Nowhere in the Word of God do you find dance in the Spirit. If I step out of this body and I begin to dance in the Spirit, you have my permission to vacate. Because it's going to be a little bit freaky. Dancing in the Spirit is not a biblical phrase. Right? You eat your cornflakes in the flesh. You dance in the flesh as far as being contained in your body. But Paul says, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells within you. Now, who has the Holy Ghost here tonight? My God, when I shout them in the Spirit, when I dance them in the Spirit, when I play, when I sing, when I witness, when I preach in the Spirit of God, I don't get in and out of the Spirit. Now, you can get carnal. And you need a little motivation. So, we're made to worship God. And you have liberty to worship God. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, little s. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means you got to get with it. You can't just, I'm so glad that He saved me. I mean, I'm not buying it. God's not buying it. The devil doesn't even buy that. And you see manifestations of spirited worship all over our culture. You see it at rock concerts. You see it. I've got a picture on file at home of all things, a Garth Brooks concert here in Birmingham. It's on the front page of the Birmingham News. And everybody in that theater. To a guy with a big old cowboy hat on. That's worship. No, you do what you want to do with that. When the little teeny boppers are at the edge of the stage. And the Jonas Brothers or whatever they're doing. And they're going, ah! All that, ah! Was designed for God. That was designed for God. If you've got that kind of passion in your heart, it's got to be directed toward God. Now listen to me. I'm not throwing stones. If they don't know God, they're doing the best they can. And if they're not serious about God, that's their business. But if you're serious about living for God, your passion needs to be directed toward your worship of the Most High God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Praise God. So we don't hang graven images of Michael Jordan. Well, there you go. I'm so dated. So pathetic. Who plays basketball now? Oh, now they're afraid to say. They're like, I don't know. I'm too holy. I'm too spiritual. I don't know any of that. Come on, mama. Come on, daddy. Don't put those NBA players on your baby's walls. Don't put some NFL player on your baby's wall. Don't put Hannah Montana on your baby's walls. What do you want him to be? What do you want her to be? Find an elder in the house of God that walks for God with integrity and holiness. Take a picture, blow it up, put it on the wall, and say, baby, that's our heroes. Baby, that's what we want to be. All clap your hands unto Him and bless His name. My God, I feel Holy Ghost like a river in this house right now. Take a moment, just shout a little bit. Just shout a little bit. Ha! My God, my God, worship the Lord, praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I'm not going to teach a lesson on holiness tonight, but I am going to tell you this. Early in your experience, you can come before God in any condition and worship Him. He let Legion come and worship. And that pretty much opens the door for everybody. A man with a couple of thousand demons can come. I can come worship. But after you've been doing this for a while, you need to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. All this stuff is connected. It's all connected. And if you set aside any of it, you'll lose all of it. For him that has, for him it will be given in abundance. And for him that hath not, he'll lose even that he has. What is that dealing with? That's dealing with the same principle. That's right there nestled in his explanation for parables. And the core of that explanation for parables is about human hunger for God. And what he's teaching there is, if you don't have hunger, you're going to lose whatever you have. But if you have hunger, God's going to give you more and in abundance. How do you demonstrate your hunger? How do you demonstrate your hunger? Oh, we just come in and we sit down and we wait for the preacher to preach and we wait for the singers to sing, and it's all about me, and you're going to entertain me, and you're going to stimulate me, and you're going to motivate me. No, 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 no. I come to the house of God. I come with my fire. I add my part. I lift up my voice. I shout unto God. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. I don't need you to shout. I don't need you to have a robust experience in the kingdom of God. I can do it all by myself. I didn't say I don't want you. I just said I don't need you. I'll tell you what, it's easier to worship by yourself in an empty house than it is to worship in a carnal house. I've preached in places where the word of God stopped about right there. Stimulate me. Tell me something I never heard. Pull another rabbit out of the Bible. Show me a new apostolic trick so we can stand around in the foyer and talk like connoisseurs. The beauty of this, the power of this, is in its freshness. And when it says that his mercies are new every morning, and he talks about the fact that God anoints him new every morning, I get the impression And when he says that the kingdom of God is like a little child, I get the impression every day I ought to wake up, it ought to be like Christmas. Oh, hallelujah. Another day. You know what today is? Do you know what today is? Do you know what today? This is the day the Lord has made. What are you going to do? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. I don't know if it's raining. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. I don't know if it's snowing. I'm going to rejoice. I don't know what the economy's doing. I'm going to rejoice. I don't know what my neighbors are doing. You hear it? You hear it? You hear it? Every morning's Christmas morning. Every morning's. He's looking for people to worship him. So what does the devil want? What does God value? Worship. So what does the devil want? He wants God's place. He wants God's stuff. So what he wants is your worship. He wants your worship. He wants to redirect it so that you shout more about a home run than you do about the Holy Ghost, so that you shout more about a touchdown or a 12-win season for Alabama than you do. I know that in Alabama this is close to blasphemy, but Saint Nick isn't a part of the apostolic faith. And I don't care if they go 0-12 or 12-0. My shout is still directed toward God. It has nothing to do with what people do chasing a little ball up and down a field. No, no, you really need to get this. He said, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Why? Because my worship belongs to God. My praise, my devotion, my heart, my passion. How much passion do you have? Where do you put it? Praise God. Praise God. So Satan wants your worship. Luke chapter 4 and verse 7, he tells Jesus, takes him to the top of a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world at one time, and says, if you'll bow down and worship me, all of this will be yours. I'll give you everything. So he holds the allure of, if you will worship something other than God, you'll be able to actualize your dreams. You will be able to embrace things that are that are out of your reach right now. But I'm going to turn that upside down on you and tell you, you will find your heart of hearts and the very dreams of your, the depth of your soul when you worship God with all of your might. And God becomes your centermost passion and you seek after Him with all of your heart. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. That sounds about all. That's about all of you there is. Heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's nothing else. Pick him up and shake him from his ankles. Do it. See if there's anything else in there beside heart, mind, soul, and strength. 35 cents. No.
Oh.
Do it.
Thank you, sir.
Praise God. Right now, just lift your hands and tell God, my worship is for you. And you alone. First Corinthians 1, if anybody's going to glory, it's going to be God that glories. If any man glories, let him glory in the Lord. And the end of that is so that no flesh glories in his presence. We're always deflecting it. Somebody says nice things about you, it's good to say thank you and to be mannerly and proper in it. But you're always sure to give God, because I can't even breathe without him. My heart won't beat without him. I might be a duck on Farmer Brown's pond somewhere if it wasn't for God being kind to me and letting me be a part of the church. You say you couldn't be a duck. Well, you didn't live through the 60s. There was so much corruption and chemicals going around. Friend of mine, there are people all over this country that think they're ducks. Fried their brains. And there, but for the grace of God, goes my wife. She was bad. Revelation chapter 13. And he's given power to cause all of them to worship the image. What is he after in the Antichrist system? He's after worship. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4. He shows himself as God seated in the temple. And he takes on the persona of God. What is he after? He's after worship. But Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. And he wants all of your worship. Luke chapter 4 and verse 8. Jesus tells Satan after he asks him to bow down. He says, it is written, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Praise God. I've only got one focal point of worship in my life. That's all that the Bible offers me. There is only one that is worthy of worship. There is only one that is worthy of the adulation and the praise. And there's a lot of imitations in the world, and they call them idols, and they call them stars. But I'm telling you, there's only one bright and morning star. There's only one that's worthy of the worship. There's only one that died for my sins. There's only one that wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if I lived forever, I could not praise and worship him enough. If I clap my hands till they fall off, if I shout until I lose my voice, if I could never repay or even approximate what God has done for me. Everybody say praise the Lord. Well, Daniel 3 and 7, everybody worshiped. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard all the musical instruments and all kinds of music, all the people, everybody say all the people, the nations, the languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, everybody was doing this. It was their culture. It was the flow of their society around them. The whole construct was about worshiping something other than the God that they knew. But when the dust cleared and when the Chaldeans began to look out over that crowd and admire the prestige of their king and the image he had set up, there were three little specks out there in the middle of that place, and they looked like giant oak trees standing in the middle of a prostrate nation of a conglomerate of people from all kinds of cultures. They are are representative of everybody in the earth, and there were only three that were standing. Let me tell you something. If you do this and you do this right, there won't be many standing with you. If you do this and you do it in a biblical fashion, you're going to stand out all by yourself. But can I tell you, there was a day when the sun hid its face and there was only one that would stand up for me and break the chains of sin forever off my life. He hung on a tree, a solitary man on Golgotha's hill, and I don't mind standing for him. Clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify him. I feel inordinately passionate about this tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Everything we do, the new birth ushers you in so that you can be a praiser, a worshiper of the Most High God. The whole construct of holiness prepares you and packages you so that you can give him glory every day of your life and not bring reproach on his name. It's all connected together. You can praise him without opening your mouth. You can worship him just by living a God-sent, biblically framed lifestyle. Praise God. Are you okay? Praise God. So say, everybody worship. Well, not quite everybody. There were three that stood. And they didn't have to. Nobody would have noticed. But it was between them and God. It wasn't about Nebuchadnezzar or anybody else around them. They stood all by. Daniel wasn't there to hold their hand. Praise God. Chapter 3, verse 16. Now the king had gotten news of this, and the king said, "Tell me it's not so, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He said, "Surely this is not what they've told me. Now listen, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to have all kinds of music, the harp and the sackbut and the psaltery. I'm going to have them play all that again. And when they do, you're going to bow down and worship. I know you are. You just didn't understand the protocol before. I know you're going to do this. If you don't do this, I'm going to fling you into a fiery furnace." And they said, "O king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Verse 16. I don't even have to think about it. I'm not tempted. It's not even a moment's hesitation. We are not careful. I don't want to be a part of that. Before I came to Babylon, I'd already made up my mind. Before you had this parade and before you built your golden image and before you engineered this pagan ritual, I already had made up my mind. I walked in the house of God tonight with a made up mind. I'll walk in Walmart next time I walk in there with a made up mind. I'll sit down at my computer terminal the next time I sit down with a made up mind. No, you need to hear me. You need to hear me. It's not a day by day what will happen tomorrow type of situation. I've already crossed over. It's too late for me. I've already made up my mind. I'm going to be a worshiper of the Most High God. Is there anybody in the house that's already got a made up mind? You see, with a made up mind, adultery's not going to be a problem. With a made up mind, pornography's not going to be a problem. With a made up mind, lying on your income tax is not going to be a problem. Why won't you do any of that? All of that, item by item, is just another day in the plain of Dura, another time when the music is playing, another opportunity to bow before something that's not like God. All of those things that compete with your passion against God, all of those things are idols in the plain of Dura. Every one of them. So we've got a made up mind. they are standing. We're not careful to answer you. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Do you know God can set you free, can spring you out of the devil's trap? Do you know that whatever the flesh or the devil or the world is telling you will be the calamity that comes if you don't play by their rules? Hannah, if you don't flirt with the world and live a little bit in the world and kind of as close to the edge of godliness and holiness as you can, if you don't do that, you will never, ever, ever, never, 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 ever, ever find a husband. You're going to be an old maid. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's your burning fiery furnace. If you don't come out here and bow down right now, we're going to play some nice music. Or whatever. That guy rolled up beside me tonight and I started compressing my head and I was inside my car. And it's like, what is that? My car's rattling. What has it done to his... Anyway, if you don't, when we play all our music, if you don't bow down and worship our gods, you're... No, you see, God brought them out of the fire. God will bring me into his promise. God knows everything that I need. God directs my path. God orders my step. Does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe that? The devil's a liar. The world is full of lies. That's right. You can live for God and you can be just like this word of God calls you to be. And you don't have to take a back seat to anybody. And you don't have to put your dreams on a shelf. Because as you plug into God's program, you find that along the way, you actualize your dreams. Praise God. Now we could go on with this for a little while, but I'm not. The word of God says in Revelation 13 and 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. But that's not the end of it. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. You've got an antidote. You've got an inoculation against the call of that world system. It's in that gospel experience that you have. And if you have a mind to, God will keep you. And you don't ever... Sister Bonnie, you think these kids are going to amount to anything in the kingdom of God? You know, I'm looking at you and saying, is there a Sister Bonnie out here in this bunch of teenagers anywhere? It's the hardest working woman in the Apostolic Church. Praise God. Praise God. But they say, but if not, I want you to know. And here's where you got to go with it. If Romeo never comes, I've already made up my mind. I believe I'll get there quicker doing it God's way and better doing it God's way. And it'll be in God's will doing it God's way. But Nebuchadnezzar, I want you to know, if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bow down to your crummy golden statue and heat up the fire because I'm ready. You know, and hyperbole is the norm for them. If you don't do this, if you really live for God, do you realize how bad it's going to be? I'm going to heat up that furnace 7 times hotter. And it's like you could get on the wagon with him and get all perturbed and excited, but how many times can he kill you? And let me ask you this, Nebuchadnezzar. Just the normal furnace temperature. I'm going to die, right? 7 times hotter. What is that about? And it's like, ooh, this really hurts worse now that it's 7 times.
hotter. But the world blows it all out of. You act like a fool in church. You act like a fool in church. And if you don't quit doing that, she's going to run away from home and join the circus and be the woman in the cannon that flies out on fire. I'm telling you, it's going to be bad. It's going to be so bad. It'll be 7 times worse than anything you can imagine. But listen to me. Hey, all the hyperbole aside, friend, I've already made up my mind. You're wasting your... He's wasting all of his carbon credits. Heating that furnace up that hot. He could save the fuel. How many times can a man die? It's too late for me. Let's stand together. I'm out of time here. I don't want to keep you too late. The end of the story, he throws them in the furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar looks in the fire and says, did we not cast 3 bound into the fire? And they say, yea, O king. And he said, but I see 4 loose and walking in the fire. They may bind you up. They may try to bind you up, friend. But when God shows up, and he will, and he will, and he will. Said, I saw 4 loose and walking in the fire. And that day he promoted them and gave them wealth and gave them position. And in a moment's time, God turned the whole thing. You know, the saddest thing in the world, you chase after the world, and this is what the world is really hungry for. You're like Gehazi when he follows Naaman down the road and says, look, the prophet didn't want that bag of money, but listen. But really, prophet changed his mind. Let me take it back to him. By the time he got back to the house, he was eaten up with the same leprosy that Naaman had washed off in the river. Isn't it ironic what people walk away from when they walk away from the kingdom of God? It's what the world that they're walking into is really hungry for. Praise God. It's what Paul was talking about when he said, let no man steal thy crown. He's saying, there's somebody out there that wants your spot. There's somebody out there that wants your crown. There's somebody out there that wants to be where you are. And if you don't want it, Jesus told the Pharisees, you don't like this worship. You don't like this worship. He said, if these hold their peace, the stones are going to cry out. If God can't find somebody here with a made up mind, he'll raise up somebody that's never heard this gospel before. And bring them into the house of God. Can we come down around the altar tonight? And as you come, I just want you to come worshiping. And when you get to the altar, I want you to continue to just worship him. And magnify him. And bless his name. There's a question in the house and in the word of God. Is there anybody that's going to stand? In 2009, is there a young person that'll stand and say, no, I'm not bowing down to all this world has to offer? Is there a young couple that'll say, as for us and as for our house, we're going to serve the Lord? Praise God. You got to make room. There's people clogged up in the aisle here. Come on, make room. Praise God. And we're going to spend just a few minutes worshiping him. Something like Let It Rain. Worship the Lord. That'll be good. All right. With your hands, with your voice, with your heart. Let's give him some praise right now around the altar. It says I can't stop praising.
Worship the Lord and magnify his name.
Take somebody by the hand and go ahead and have yourself a little dance partner tonight. Come on.
Hey, worship.
Magnify His name. Oh, magnify His name. We give You praise. We give You worship. Glory, 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 glory. We need a little more energy over in this section over here. We need a little more pizzazz right down in here. Some worship, some worship.
Magnify His name.
Magnify His name. Oh, let's clap our hands and enjoy Him and bless His name. Hallelujah. All right. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, I was made to worship God. And I'm going to fulfill my commission. Whenever you see me, I'll be praising God in the beauty of holiness.
I can't stop praising His name.
I just can't stop
praising His name. I just can't
stop. When I'm in a line at Piccadilly, I'm going to praise His name.
Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus.
Well, God bless you. So good to be in the house of the Lord with you on a Wednesday night. Look, God's doing awesome things. I think we've about survived the flu bug. Looks like a good, fairly healthy Wednesday night. Look, we're going to have revival in the house this weekend. Bring somebody. There are flyers in the foyer that are just generic revival flyers for your Sunday services and Wednesday night services. Just get one, pass it out, invite some people to come to the house of the Lord. God bless you. Share your strength, your victory before you leave the house tonight.